I want to turn back to those passages which we read together and the chapters around them, Genesis 42 and preceding chapters. I want to consider Jacob as he comes towards the end of his life. We know that Jacob had a hard life. He had many difficulties. He had many disappointments. He had many hardships. Not all of them were, as it were, outside of his control. Jacob brought things upon himself at times. We can think way back when he first deceived his father and had to flee from Esau, his brother, to Laban, really fleeing for his life, because his brother was seeking him that he might kill him for, as a result of his deception. Think of his life with Laban and how he really was deceived by Laban himself and had many difficulties, had to serve for his wives those 14 years, and eventually he leaves Laban behind. We then know the difficulty he had in having to meet Esau, and the fear that he had regarding how Esau would react to him, the wrestling at Peniel with the Lord, and then the result, that being the welcome from Esau and the peace that was made. But as we come to the end, or towards the end of Jacob's life, again there is great sadness. There is great difficulty for Jacob to pass through. He now has his 12 sons. His family is complete in that sense. But there is the trouble in the family once again. The favoritism towards Joseph, the coat that he gives him, the jealousy of the brethren, causes friction in the family. And that causes difficulty for all concerned. And as we know the account, it is not long before the brethren take it to their own hands to take Joseph, cast him first into the pit, and then cast him into the hands of the Midianites to go down into Egypt. And here we come across, as it were, the first, at this time in his life, the great sadness for Jacob. How he receives that news from his sons that Joseph, as far as he's concerned, is dead. And if we put ourselves into the shoes of Jacob for a little while, can we imagine what it is like to receive the news that your youngest son, the son who you especially love and dote on, has died? And before you is the evidence, the coat that he gave to Joseph, dipped in blood, blood-stained, ripped apart. Before Jacob is the evidence, as far as he is concerned, that his beloved son Joseph is no more. He will never see him again. He will never set eyes on him again. He will never hear his voice again. He will never feel his comfort again. And Jacob is distraught, quite understandably. He rose up. His sons and daughters rose up to comfort him. He refused to be comforted, we read. He said, "I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." And thus his father wept for him. And what sadness then for Jacob at this time. But life only becomes harder. The sadness is only compounded. The next chapter we read of the terrible actions really of Judah, and the sadness that comes into the family through that. And it is not long before then famine itself comes into the land. And Jacob must be wondering if things can get any worse. The family is being torn apart. Joseph is dead as far as he's concerned. And there is now famine in the land. The whole family is threatened. The whole existence of their livelihood is threatened by this famine. It is sore upon the land. And we know that Joseph was in Egypt. Joseph was preparing for the years of dearth. And he had the storehouses. But in Canaan, where Jacob and the family were, they were starving. They were without food. And then for Jacob, his sons go. They must go. They have to go. They have to go down into Egypt. They have to go to buy corn. And we can imagine Jacob there seeing his sons, all bar Benjamin, going off into the distance, going off to Egypt, to an unknown situation, to an unknown place. They did not know what they would find. They did not know if there would be food. They did not know how they would come back again. And he sees them leave, and he is left alone with Benjamin, his youngest son. And then, if matters could only get worse, when they return, yes, they return with food, but they return with the news, as we read, that the man who they met spoke roughly to them, that he accused them of being spies, and that Simeon, his son, was now in prison in Egypt. He has lost Joseph. He has lost Simeon. And they tell him that Benjamin is required to go. And we read his response. Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not. Simeon is not. And ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And we can see something of how Jacob felt in those words. Everything seemed to be against him. Things just seemed to be getting worse and worse. He could join with the psalmist, couldn't he, who said, "Thy waves and billows are gone over me." Time and again, another wave, another billow hits him and makes him sink that bit lower. And he feels, all these things are against me. Well, it is not long before they all must go again. And as we read, this time he allows Benjamin to go also. And how he must have grieved. How he must have felt that parting. But now all his family has gone. Joseph has died. Simeon is in prison. And now all the others and Benjamin have gone down to Egypt. And in all this, the famine still rages. In all this, they are still without food. In all this, there is still the threat of the family. Poor Jacob, how he must have yearned. All these things are against me. There is no positive. There is no blessing. There is no help for me. Everything is being taken away. My family is being wrenched away from me. And I'm left alone. All these things are against me. But the wonderful thing that we know, Jacob did not know, but what we know, behind all this, over all of this, is the hidden hand of Joseph. For Joseph knew that his brethren had come. Joseph knew it was his brother Simeon in the prison. Joseph knew that his father was alive in Canaan. Joseph knew what he was doing, to test them, to see how they would react, to see if they had changed, to see if they would come again, to see if they would bring Benjamin. Joseph was behind it all. Unknown to Jacob, the hidden hand of blessing was in control. And then, when Jacob has come to the bottom, when Jacob has lost all, when Jacob feels that everything is against him, then he hears the wonderful news that we read. Then he hears the news that he can hardly believe, the news that he cannot take in. Joseph is yet alive, chapter 45 and verse 26. Joseph is yet alive. He is governor over all the land of Egypt. Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed it not. This is the news he least expected. The least expected. The wonderful blessing for Jacob would have been to see Benjamin again. The wonderful blessing for Jacob would have been for the food to have arrived to save the family. The wonderful blessing would have been to see Simeon free and the 11 sons together again. The news he did not expect. The most wonderful news. Joseph is yet alive. And he cannot believe it. And then he sees the wagons. All the things, the carts, the food, the grain, the sustenance which has come. He said unto them, when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Joseph has sent provision. Joseph has sent a way for you now, Jacob, to come down to be with him in Egypt. Here is the promise. Here is the evidence that Joseph is alive. He has sent the provision to bring you to him. And then Jacob receives the blessing from God. He has had the news of Joseph. He's had the invitation to come. And then God confirms it. And God says, fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And finally, we read the wonderful, the heartwarming words of how Jacob comes to see Joseph. Joseph made ready his chariot, went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen, presented himself unto him. He fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. So a very quick overview, a very quick view of Jacob and his thoughts, his feelings, no doubt, as he came and went through this experience, the coming down, the losing of everything, the losing of his family, the losing of his sons, and yet the wonderful news that Joseph is alive, and the wonderful scene of the reunion as he weeps on his neck, as he sees his face, as the wonder of the impossible for Jacob has occurred. For him, Joseph is alive. For the family, for Jacob, salvation has come. And they are now safe in Egypt. Well, we see in it, don't we, the wonderful hand of God, the providence of God, the overruling of God. Though Jacob could not see it, though he felt that everything was against him, over it all was the hand of God. And there were times when Jacob could not see that at all. He could not see it at all. It all looked black. It all looked dark. It all looked impossible. And yet it was still there. Yet God's hand was still ruling. Yet he would look back one day and see that God's way was perfect, though it grieved him. To see God's way was right, though it hurt him. And see the blessing that God brought. So it reminds us, as we start the new year, that God is in utter control. Complete control, though we cannot see it. Though we may not enjoy faith to really cling on to it. Yet it is true that God is in control. It may feel today that all is against us. Yet we will look back and see his way is perfect. But I want to take those few thoughts a little bit deeper spiritually for a few minutes tonight. Because spiritually, we can feel like Jacob. How often can we feel in our heart, in our soul, that everything is against us? That everything's being removed? That we're being brought lower and lower and lower? The things we've trusted in, the things we've clinged to, are being taken away. The idols that once we had, we enjoyed, the things we indulged in, the things we had no problem with, and yet the Lord impresses on us our guilt in having them. He impresses on us how they are separating us from him. And those things which we once enjoyed become a problem, become a separating force between us and our God, and they are taken away. And then perhaps ourselves, the things we've been trusting in ourselves, are starting to be taken away. Our background, our heritage, our religion, our knowledge, those things that we've been relying on are taken away. We see that they do not bring us near to God in themselves. We see that they cannot save us from our sins themselves. And they're being removed. Our own righteousness, the things that we've done, the things that we think impress God, the things that make our hearts and our consciences feel better, we start to see that they do us no lasting good, they do us no eternal good. We are unrighteous, we are filthy rags in His sight. They are removed, those things we've been relying on. Our past, the things that we've done, the things we've thought were good. And even as we go on in the Christian way, we find increasingly that our hearts cannot keep themselves alive. We cannot give life and liberty and liveliness to ourselves. And our hearts seem increasingly far from God when we try to walk in our own strength. We see more of our own weakness. We see more how quickly we fall. We see more how quickly we do fall into idols and idol worship. We see how quickly we cling again to the world. We cling again to ourselves. We neglect the word of God. We neglect the throne of grace. We find ourselves growing withered and barren in our soul. And we realize in ourselves we have nothing. And we're being brought lower and lower and lower. And we join with Jacob. All these things are against me. Everything that I had, everything I relied on, everything that seemed to be good is being taken away. Where is the Lord in this? Where is the Lord's work in this? Why do I feel so broken-hearted when I profess to be a believer? Why do I feel so far from God when I believe that I am a Christian? Why is bit by bit all these things being taken away from me? Is this really His way? Is this really His will? Is this really best? All these things are against me. But as it is true that for Jacob, the hidden hand of Joseph was over the entire situation, that he was in Egypt, that he knew what he was doing, that he would bring the blessing to the family, so it is equally true, it is more gloriously true, that the hidden hand of Jesus is over us. The hidden hand of our Saviour is over His people. And He knows what He is doing, and He is working for our good. And for His glory. He's working to humble us, to bring us down, to make us see our weakness. Because when we are weak, we are strong. Because when we are low, we are resting in Him. He is working. And it is good that we may feel like Jacob, though it is so hard, though it is so heartbreaking. Because it brings us to a time of blessing. And when we come to that time of blessing, oh, how we love the Saviour all the more. How Jacob fell on Joseph's neck and kissed him and loved him and embraced him and enjoyed Joseph's presence all the more because he had lost him, because he had endured that time without him, because he had been brought low. And sometimes the Lord works, though it is painful, that we, as it were, embrace Him all the more, love Him all the more, cling to Him all the more, because we have been brought to a place where our heart has longed after Him, because we have been brought low, because we have felt our distance from God. Then Christ becomes all the more precious, all the more glorious. Now for Jacob, who cried, "All these things are against me," the time of blessing came. The time of revival came. The time of Joseph's revealing came. And we can believe, for those who cry out in their own weakness, for those who groan over their own sins, for those who feel and mourn an absent God, He will appear again. The Lord will come, because Joseph is alive, because Jesus is alive. He is victorious over death. He is in glory. He is alive. He is not far off. He is there. He is alive. And therefore He knows. And therefore, as He is alive, He brings life for His people. As he is alive, he is in control. He is aware and he is over it all. He knows where we are. Even he has brought us to this place. He is alive. And there's the comfort for Jacob that he could hardly believe it, that Joseph was alive and in Egypt. How wonderful for us to remember when we feel an absent God, that it is true whether we feel it or not. Jesus is alive. The Lord is risen. It is true that for Jacob, he saw, as it were, the invitation to go down. The wagons to take him. The wagons transport him down to Egypt. And it is true for us that the Lord is alive. And the Lord calls. Come unto me, all ye that are laboured and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Oh, how wonderful for Jacob to be, as it were, placed in these chariots, in these wagons, taken down. How wonderful for us when we have lost everything, when we feel to be that everything's against us, we feel to be so low and so down, as it were, to see the chariot and hear the call of the Lord. Come, come. Here is strength. Here is blessing. Here is the Saviour. And here is the earnest. There's the promise, the evidence of blessing to come. Now Jacob received, he saw the blessing has come from Joseph, the food that is in store, and how much more abundant there must be if only I went to Joseph in Egypt. Oh, and we, as it were, see the wagons. We see the promise of blessing that the Lord has sent. He promises in his word that in the Lord there is life, in the Lord there is peace, in the Lord there is forgiveness, in the Lord there is strength. He blesses us with a little taste of what there is to come, what there is in our life when we walk with the Lord, what there is ultimately in glory above, what the Lord Jesus has in store for his people. Oh, what encouragement. Though we feel everything's against us, though we feel our sin, look at the blessings that the Lord has in store. Look at the promises that he has for his people. Look at himself, how ultimately his greatest blessing is to have him, to be with him, and to know him, as Jacob went to be with Joseph. Oh, how wonderful to think that the Lord, he knows. That the Lord is alive. That the Lord welcomes and receives those who are destitute in themselves. That one day those who do hear him, those who do trust him, those who do believe and cry after him, shall, as Jacob embraced Joseph, shall, as it were, one day embrace the Lord, to be with him, to see him, and to enjoy him forever. The salvation has come. Well, sometimes we feel at the end of all things, don't we? Sometimes we wonder where our religion, where our faith has gone. Sometimes we wonder if we were converted at all. That everything we had seems to be taken away. That the hardness of our heart seems to have revived. And that the Lord seems far off. We feel like giving up. All these things are against us. Well, let us remember. Joseph is yet alive. Jesus is yet alive. All has been done. All has been accomplished. The storehouses are full. The blessings are so many. He has them to give. It is not that we walk in our strength. It is not that we impress the Lord with what we have. It is not that Jacob was to go with Joseph and impress him with everything that he had. He came to Joseph with nothing, and he received the blessing from his own son. How wonderful that we know that as we come to the Lord with nothing, that that is the best way to come. As we come to the Lord empty, that is the way he desires us to come. As we come feeling that we have been taken away from everything we relied in, that is the way he receives. That is where he blesses. We hear him. May we go to him. May we look to him alone. Well, we may say all these things are against us at times. They are not. Because we know that all these things work together for good. To those that love God and who are called according to his purpose. And we know that all things work together for his glory. May it be that we may indeed decrease. And that he may increase. Well, may he add his blessing to his thoughts.